This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and we'll begin today with Boston Mayor Marty Walsh. It's a busy time for the mayor. This week, he was at the White House to talk about gun violence. On Tuesday, his office announced a new affordable housing development program, all this following last week's federal indictment of his director of tourism, sports and entertainment, Kenneth Brissette, for allegedly withholding city permits to pressure organizers of a music festival to hire union workers. So lots to talk about. And Mayor Walsh, welcome back to Radio Boston. It's always good to have you. Welcome back.
Thanks, Anthony. It's great to be on.
And listeners, if you have a question for the mayor, give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Mr. Mayor, as I said, we want to talk about a bunch of things, but I do want to start with this federal case against Kenneth Brissette. You know, there's a history in this city of this kind of indictment and investigation, how it can really cast a shadow over City Hall. What are you telling the members of your administration about how to stay focused on their work?
Well, we're going to continue to do. I'm going to continue to do my job as mayor of the city, and I tell my administration to continue moving forward and doing everything that we can do. I don't think that this what happened last week can overshadow all of the great things that have happened in the city in the last 2.5 years since we've been mayor. We've announced all kinds of different plans around Imagine Boston 2030. We're working on transportation. We're working on building more affordable housing. We're in the third largest economic boom in the history of our city right now. Our police community relations are probably the strongest they've ever been. We continue to work at that every single day. So we continue to move forward. I mean, I think what happened was very unfortunate, but we're going to work with the United States Attorney's Office to get to the bottom of what happened, and we're going to move forward.
Mr. Mayor, you said that you have faith in Kenneth Brissette. Did you ever talk to him at all about the issue of hiring union or non-union workers?
No, the issue never came up between myself and Ken. And you know, what I said, I was on the radio the other day, and I was talking about Ken, and, you know, he's one of the sweetest people I've ever met in my life. And, you know, this is certainly, when this news came down last week, I was certainly very bothered by it. But again, we're going to work very close. We're going to work with the U.S. Attorney's Office and hopefully get to the bottom of if something was done wrong here, to make sure it never happens again. And hopefully at the end of the day, nothing was done wrong and we did everything we were supposed to.
I do want to move on to other subjects, but I'm just going to ask you one more question about this. The indictment named another person in your administration who also allegedly put pressure on the music festival to hire union workers. As mayor, are you trying to figure out, is there an internal effort to figure out who that person is?
No, we're working with the U.S. Attorney's Office right now. We brought on Attorney Brian Kelly to do a review of Boston Calling, and it's conducting in a comprehensive review. And we're also looking at doing a comprehensive review of the Office of Arts and Tourism, Sports and Entertainment to ensure the proper policies and procedures in place. So that's one of the things that unfortunately came out of this indictment is that we are going to take a good review. I mean, we actually announced a review before this came down, but we wanted to make sure all the policy, everything that we do is proper.
Okay. Let me move on to a couple of other subjects. The White House gun summit this week, you were there, how to get guns off the street. I gather there were other folks from around the country, other states. What did you learn down there?
48 states were represented in there, and basically I was on one of the panels along with Attorney General Maury Hill. He spoke there, and we were joined by a couple of the state representatives from Massachusetts, Laurie Ehrlich and David Linsky, who were both state representatives who I formerly served with. And really what we're talking about is listening to sharing best practices. And one of the things I learned is the resistance by the National Rifle Association to the smart gun technology that we're trying to introduce here, that cities and states are trying to introduce. Where when somebody gets hold of a gun, the only person that can use that gun is somebody who the gun's identified with, whether it's through a fingerprint or a code. And so I was a little surprised by that the NRA, who is fighting for people's rights to bear arms, which I support, in the sense of making sure they're legal gun owners and we have background checks and that we limit the amount of guns people can buy in a particular month. Outside of that, I have no idea why the NRA is fighting it. Also was talking about seeing if there's a possibility for us to get Congress to enact a background check. The President of the United States placed several executive orders, which I firmly support. And really, it's about collaboration. I mean, we're losing too many young people and too many people in America to senseless gun violence, people who get their hands on illegal guns who shouldn't have the guns. and they're taking too many lives. We lost a police officer in Auburn. I'm not sure if that gun was illegal yet. I know
sure.
what we're talking about, but I mean, this is senseless violence. We shouldn't be losing this many people through gun violence in America.
Well, let me ask you, Mr. Mayor. You mentioned hoping that Congress might get involved in this. I think over the last, 2 years, I would say, I don't think I've talked to any public officials who have had any faith that Congress will act on this, including members of Congress. I just haven't heard that it's going to happen.
I agree with that. And, we were talking to some of the other states. I mean, our delegation in Massachusetts is moving forward and doing some great things. And it's sad to see that Congress is so paralyzed here. I think what we're seeing with this presidential election is a backlash on Congress's inability to take action on anything. And I think that, the legislation around guns or immigration and other types of legislation, I mean, they get elected to go down there and pass legislation and to work on legislation, whether they support or not at the end, that's another story, but nothing's moving, and the American people are getting frustrated by it. In urban America, like Boston, like Chicago, like New York, like other urban cities, we have far too many young people being killed by guns on the street.
Yeah.
They need I don't know what it's going to take, but the president did his executive actions, executive orders. When he's out of office, those orders could probably go with him, depending on who gets reelected.
Well, absent action from Congress, I mean, is it fair to say that one of the sort of challenges that you're facing as a mayor of a city is you're in a state where there are relatively tight gun control laws, but of course, guns can come in from neighboring states where the laws are not as tight.
There's no question about that. And what we did was we started to put together a gun summit. We've had three of them now here, two in Boston, one in Providence, Rhode Island, where we've invited mayors and police chiefs from around New England to sit down and talk about best practices. We formalized an agreement with the last meeting we had with a group called Arms with Ethics that's going to be keeping track of what we're going on. And what we really found out by having conversations with mayors from around New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine, even though their gun laws aren't the same as ours, they have an issue with drugs going up to their states. So we're working to see how we can work better together to prevent the flow of drugs up north and guns down south. And that's really 70% of the guns used on the streets of Boston come from outside the state. So we have to continue those dialogues, those conversations, and try and strengthen the laws, but also strengthen law enforcement.
Let me ask you a question that comes from Kathy Cahill. She just tweeted us this question, and she wants to know about basically an incident yesterday or day before yesterday involving an off-duty police officer and a man crossing the street in Back Bay. Now, according to the police report, the man was crossing against the green light. I gather the off-duty officer's car came a little bit close to him in the crosswalk and he hit the car with his umbrella. In the video captured by an onlooker, it shows the officer kneeling on the man, forcing his head into the ground, and then eventually arresting him. Onlookers, including the police, including the person who shot the video, seem shocked at the officer's action. And here's just a portion of that video. You can hear some of the audio.
Crack my window. He's under arrest.
He didn't crack your window.
Oh, he didn't? What's that? We'll see when the police get there, okay? Why don't you go on the side with me and just know it's safety, okay?
That's a smudge. Yeah, it's not a crack. And you cut him off.
Were you there?
If he was in the crosswalk, you should have yielded to him.
So mind your business.
No, I'm taping it.
Tape whatever you want.
I will.
Mr. Mayor, I got to say, I saw this video. At first glance, it is sort of surprising. I'm just wondering if you've seen it, and has the commissioner seen it, and what do you make of it?
We both saw it yesterday, and the commissioner took immediate action by referring this to Internal Affairs. There's an investigation ongoing now. I think the video is about 24 hours long at this point, so they're looking at what the procedure was there, and was everything done properly, and they're doing an investigation of the situation now. The one thing I will say, the gentleman in the crosswalk, I mean, you can't be hitting people's cars, whether it's a police officer's car or not a police officer's car, with an umbrella. That's something you can't do. But again, this is under review right now.
No, I mean, I take that point, but to see the off-duty police officer kneeling down on the man's head for what seemed like a fairly, unserious situation there. I mean, did that strike you as just a little bit
over
the top?
I'm not going to comment on this until I'll let their investigation be complete because I don't want to add any comments or potential testimony that would be used in the internal investigation. So I'm waiting to see what Internal Affairs comes back with.
All right. Well, let me move on to housing. On Tuesday, your office announced the new Acquisition Opportunity Program in the Housing Department, which earmarks $7.5 million to create and protect affordable housing stock. We know that the absence of the shortage of affordable housing, big issue in the city. Can you tell us quickly how this program works?
Yeah, well, what the money does, it's money earmarked $7.5 million of inclusionary development funds to prevent residents of multifamily properties from being displaced out of their home. It builds on the administration's commitment to protect tenants and preserve the city's moderately priced housing stock. And what we really want to do here is make sure, as we came in here, one of the first things I did in the first 9 months of my administration is came out with a very aggressive housing plan to create 53,000 units of new housing because so many people are being priced out of the city of Boston. This is just another step. This program hopefully will prevent displacement of tenants threatened by gentrification and also ensuring that their apartments will not become unaffordable over the long term. So we're going to go through a competitive RFP process. Development teams will be selecting and will receive certification from the city, and we're going to be continuing to doing more through the Department of Neighborhood Development to be creative on this issue around housing.
So the tenants group, Life Vita Urbana, the head of this group, Steve Mitchum, told the Boston Globe that what it comes down to is about $75,000 a unit, and he says that just doesn't buy that much in many Boston neighborhoods. What else can the city do?
We've been doing things. I mean, I know that Steve is a very good activist in the city, but we've done a lot. We've invested in every budget. We'll put more money into affordable housing. We're looking at city-owned land to get more money out there for affordable housing. In 2014 and 2015, we set records for housing starts, and in both of those 2 years, moderate low-income housing outpaced high-end housing. That's never happened before in the city. And last year, we built, when I say we, in the city of Boston, 1,022 units of affordable housing was built. That's the biggest number ever happening in the city. So I know that people want more and we'd like to have more, but we're also working and doing as the best we can to keep up with this housing. This is something that really hasn't, it's been focused on in the past, but not to the degree it's being focused on now. And we're working with home ownership opportunities through the Department of Neighborhood Development. We have Sheila Dillon working on this issue. We have Robbie Gonsalvo working on this issue. We have a whole team of people working on this issue.
Let me ask you about the Just Cause eviction ordinance that's still before the Boston City Council. It would require landlords to meet certain criteria if they want to evict tenants. What's your take on the ordinance?
Yeah, we're reviewing that. We'll be hopefully coming up with some suggestions at some point in the near future. We're reviewing all the proposals that were sent to us. I mean, I know the council is taking up one proposal, but we have many different housing activists who have given us their ideas and their proposals on it. So we're taking a look at that.
Yeah. I want to move on a little bit.
Just one other
Yeah,
thing.
Go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
Also supported the CPA. I mean, we came out and supported the CPA the other day. City Council passed it 12-1. I put my support with that.
CPA being the
Community Preservation Act. And obviously we'll work with the legislature, hopefully, to be able to get some of the funding. We have 160 cities and towns around Massachusetts, that are CPA eligible. And we want to be the 161st city and town eligible. So we want to be able to, that's another opportunity we have. We also increased the IDP, the off-site buyout on projects in our city. To 18%, and that's another big win for the city of Boston. So, I mean, there is some things happening around housing. We can continue to do that to make investments and make changes so we can continue to try and build as much affordable housing as we can.
Yeah. Mr. Mayor, I know I've got to let you go in just a minute. I just want to ask you one more question about schools, and that is that last week Boston students walked out to protest proposed budget cuts. More than 1,000 students, as you know, walked out of class for the second time this year. You called the walkout poorly timed, saying these kids should be focused on the end of school, on MCAS tests, but are you sympathetic to their concerns?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't call it poorly timed. I said it was poorly timed, and I am sympathetic, but I'm also looking at how do we make arrangements and make adjustments in the school department that we make changes. Right now, just so people get a little understanding of it, we have 128 school buildings in the city of Boston. We have 22 different models of schools within those school buildings. We have 22 different start times. We have 90,000 seats, and we have 57,000 children that go to our schools. So if anyone ran a business business or worked in a business that, operated like that, they wouldn't be around long. The business would be out of business. And what we're trying to do is make some changes here in our district so that we make sure that every child that enters kindergarten in the city of Boston or pre-kindergarten in the city of Boston gets an opportunity for a pathway to college or a career. And, what we're trying to do here is look at, you know, even though people are saying that we cut the budget, the budget that I put in front of the city council is the largest budget in the history of the Boston Public Schools, $1,027,000,000, and a $13.5 million increase over last year. So we're certainly making the investment in our kids. There's no question. And being told that we're not making the investment in our kids is just not accurate. Mm-hmm. We certainly are making a large investment in our kids, and we need to also make sure that investment we're making is targeted correctly so that it affects into the classroom so our kids get the most out of it.
But weren't your comments sort of suggesting, you know, that I mean, I understand that you're sympathetic to their concerns, but suggesting that they shouldn't have walked out. I mean, it seems so.
The day that this walkout was planned was 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday, the first day of MCAS, and 6 weeks from the end of school, when kids should be focused on worrying about their MCAS and should be focused on their final exams, really. And we have people advocating and getting the kids involved in some of this conversation. I just felt it was the wrong timing to do it, and we could have very easily, they could have switched to hearing, to have a hearing at night like the school superintendent announced the other day, to have a conversation about this with all the kids in the system if they'd like to come. But, you know, we can't be, I don't know if anyone listening has a child that took the MCAS. From what I understand, it's a very stressful time in their life, and what we were encouraging kids were encouraged to walk out of school the first day of MCAS, where they need to pass the MCAS test to graduate 3 years from now. So I just thought it was, again, very poor timing.
Sure. Well, I mean, you were at odds. I mean, as you know, City Councilor Tito Jackson encouraged it. Have you talked to him about
this isn't about Councilor Jackson. This is more about we need to make sure that, you know, when we invest in the schools, we invest in our kids, we need to make sure they get the best possible education. I think that's a very important statement that we, you know, in the heels of announcing the largest school budget in the history of the city, you know, kids walking out of school, particularly that day, that was a very tough time for them to do that.
Sure.
And it could have been changed for them. Again, kids could come, and I commend them for it, because certainly many of the kids understand the issues and understand what's happening in our school system. But there was a simple solution: move the hearing to a little later in the day, or put it on a Saturday to allow them to come in.
All right. Well, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, always a pleasure to have you. Thanks for coming, talking to us on Radio Boston. We look forward to having you again soon in the future.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Listeners, stay with us. There's more ahead. This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.